inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak, continuing our guest mock draft series. Now we are at number 13, the San Francisco 49ers. Very interested to hear the analysis for this pick because San Francisco wasn't originally picking here. This is a trade-up deal. Ben, when we were doing mock drafts for San Francisco, we weren't even thinking of some of these guys that they were picking, and now they're all on the table for the guys who are in the range of pick number 13. This will be a fun one.
Yeah, I think that whenever you have Super Bowl contender picking in the top 15, it's really fun because you get to say, aha, and they're going to get this blue chip talent and win next year, right? It's like,
right.
There's a reason we don't have these teams picking this high, because adding one of these top players to them generally feels unfair, and that's definitely the case with San Francisco.
Before we bring in our guest, just to recap how this guest mock draft has gone, Joe Burrow went number one, Chase Young number two, Jeff Okuda three, Jedrick Wills four, Tua Tagovailoa five, Justin Herbert six, Javon Kinlaw went seven, Isaiah Simmons eight, Derek Brown nine, Tristan Wirfs 10. On the last two podcasts, we had Andrew Thomas go 11 to the Jets, and then CeeDee Lamb to the Las Vegas Raiders. That brings us up to number 13. And to help us understand what San Francisco could possibly be thinking as a Super Bowl contender here in the top 15 of the draft, which does not happen often, as Ben said, we have Brian Peacock, who is not only the host of Locked On 49ers, but also has one of the smoothest podcast voices I feel like I have ever heard. Brian, we really appreciate you joining us, man.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for the intro. I appreciate it. And I do want to say, first off, you guys are killing it both here on the podcast and at the Draft Network.
So, he's allowed to stay.
That's all it took.
Yep. If you had opened up with, oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate how you guys doing. Immediate kick. If you don't pander directly to the hosts, you're gone.
You got to pander. That is Radio 101. So now that the pandering is done, we have fluffed each other. Let's get into this thing, man. And you mentioned it. It's so exciting for 49ers fans right now to have this extra fun number 13 overall draft pick. And when I was doing previews for certain position groups earlier in the offseason, there was no thought of guys like CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and Jedrick Wills and all these stud offensive tackles and Derek Brown and Javon Kinlaw. Those guys were just a dream. Just you were hoping someone would break their leg at the combine to have that opportunity to draft one of these players at 31. Now you're sitting here, and look, it was at the cost of DeForest Buckner, who's a fan favorite. He's been one of the most consistent best 49ers since he was drafted, but that's the price of doing business. And I think the 49ers had to make that move once the Indianapolis Colts dangled that number 13 overall pick.
Yeah. I want to talk about just getting a little bit more into that DeForest Buckner move, because I'm just going to straight up ask, was it worth it? Do you think that it was worth it? Looking at the situation that the 49ers were in, we hear about this all the time. You know, Patrick Mahomes is making it famous with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, he's talking about running it back, right? I'm sure that when you have a team that goes to a conference championship game or especially a Super Bowl, you're wanting to run it back. You think you've got the roster to compete and capture a championship the next year. For the 49ers, Buckner's a huge piece, and I know the number 13 overall is a good price to get back for him, but you know, even if you draft an interior defensive lineman, the replacement's probably not 1-1 here coming up in 2020, so we'd just love to get your take on the trade itself, whether you knew it was coming or if it was out of left field, and how you think it could be worth it for him.
It was pretty out of left field. You know what's funny is I had someone who got involved with a mailbag segment on my podcast about a week before this whole thing went down and said, hey, I've got some inside sources. And he basically laid out exactly what happened. And I saw the tweet, I didn't even put it on the podcast because I thought, well, that's too insane. The 49ers aren't going to trade DeForest Buckner to the Colts for a first rounder and all this stuff. And lo and behold, that's what ended up happening. So I missed out on that inside source that was very close.
How about it?
And now I'm going to pay attention to that.
You're right.
I can't hold my sources, but that person on Twitter that DMs me, I'm going to take those a lot more serious now. But really, it was not on my radar at all. I was surprised because I thought for sure it was going to be, okay, long-term contract for Buckner, and then you let Armstead walk. But it was clear that they were going to have to lose one of those guys because you can't pay $60 million a year for your defensive line. And Nick Bosa's, as the number two overall pick, is already not that cheap and going to get very expensive. You have D Ford there as well. So one of those guys had to go, and the key was that first-round pick. And $21 million is a lot of money for an interior defensive lineman. So the versatility for Arik Armstead to be able to play defensive end, to be able to play inside, you're paying him $17 million a year instead of $21 million a year for DeForest Buckner. And yes, DeForest Buckner is a better player, and ideally that's the player you would rather keep. But when you factor in getting a first rounder back and paying only $17 million for Armstead rather than $21 million for Buckner, it was really a shrewd deal that the 49ers had to do.
Right, so I want to talk a little bit about Arik Armstead, because I think what's really important in judging how good you think this trade is judging just what you think Armstead can do. Because in the immediate wake of the trade, I was like, Javon Kinlaw, 13 to the Niners, lock it in, send it home, here we go. But when you look at the money they gave to Armstead, like you said, $85 million over five, they have DJ Jones, who they like as their nose. Obviously, Solly Thomas does under-tackle stuff for them as well. They do seem to have the bodies in the room to fill out the depth chart of defensive tackle. The problem is Armstead gets paid $17 million for a 10-sack season last year when he wasn't able to garner more than three sacks in any other seasons previous. I know he was banged up for a couple of seasons as well, but it's been a long mountain to climb to get Armstead to that productive season he had in 2019. My question is, with $17 million on Armstead, with DeForest Buckner traded away, what is the expectation for Armstead? What benchmark does he have to clear? What production does he have to put out? Does he have to become a DeForest Buckner-like presence, which is one of the three, four best defensive tackles in the league? Does he have to become that presence for this trade to be worth it? Like, can he reach those expectations?
I don't know if he has to do anything more than what he did last year. If he's the player he was in 2019, and if you look at some metrics and Pro Football Focus had him graded as actually a better player in 2019 than DeForest Buckner. Getting home to the quarterback was key. You mentioned the slow start to his career. Injuries really derailed it early on. And to see him healthy for a full season, and really is a very similar story to another former first rounder for the 49ers and Jimmy Ward, who was able to stay healthy for a full season and play a really amazing job at free safety in that center field role was crazy how well he played. And Arik Armstead was the same deal for the 49ers. You saw that power and all the talent that he had. It all came together on that defensive line, and he was able to stay healthy, and he was able to get home and get to the quarterback, and he was active both outside and inside. And I think part of job of filling the shoes of DeForest Buckner will land on, and I don't think he's going to play a full role as a three technique for the 49ers, but I think we'll see Arik Armstead, who was 50-50 outside, inside. I think we'll see him a lot more inside because the 49ers just have a lot of tweeners, and I don't think they feel the need to necessarily have to try, which is, it's kind of too difficult to even attempt it anyways, to try to replace DeForest Buckner one for one. But the talent has always been there. That's why Arik Armstead was a mid-first round pick in 2015, and he was able to display it. As long as he stays healthy, I think that'll be the key. He'll be able to disrupt teams. He's so strong. He's so good with his hands. He's great against the run as an edge defender, and he's athletic and is a problem for teams rushing from the inside.
It is not often that you have a team go to the Super Bowl, and then the following offseason, people talk about moving on from the quarterback. That just does not happen very often, and I felt like we had more conversations than I even thought that we were about Jimmy Garoppolo and him potentially moving on from the 49ers, the 49ers moving on from him. Now, the options that I heard were like Tom Brady. Okay, if you get Tom Brady, I guess it's a little bit different, but it does kind of open the door to the conversation to at least let us talk about, hey, how committed is this franchise to Jimmy Garoppolo? And is it a situation where they might be saying things on the surface like, yeah, Jimmy's our guy, but really they're in a situation that, you know, we just talked to Ted Wynn on the podcast before when we talked about Derek Carr, where it's like, hey, you know, Derek Carr is their quarterback right now, but don't get it twisted. They're looking to upgrade. They're actively looking to upgrade. They have over the last 2 years. Are we moving towards that point with the 49ers and Jimmy G, or is it more solidified than maybe those conversations led on?
I think the Tom Brady stuff was overblown, and if someone who is Tom Brady can't be a guy that you want to replace your quarterback, then I think that pretty much says how the 49ers feel about Jimmy Garoppolo and that he's their guy, and I don't think that was even much of a serious story, even though it was a fun thing to talk about. Jimmy Garoppolo is so disrespected right now, and his first full season. This is the first time he's ever started a full season in his NFL career, took a team to the Super Bowl. And yes, there's things he can improve upon, and I think he will improve as he gets more reps, because you think about how many reps he's had under Kyle Shanahan. This was his first full offseason and regular season with Shanahan. He had an abbreviated playbook in year one when he got traded in 2017. How that was, you guys don't follow the 49ers as closely as I do, obviously.
Wow, I'm insulted.
I know you guys are really tapped in.
Let's go 1-1 right now. Week 8, play 45.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start naming players on the roster, and the last one out that doesn't have a name. No, I'm just kidding. We'd be here a while.
Let's do the 1989 roster.
Oh, okay.
So that was the team I fell in love with, by the way.
Imagine being alive. Couldn't have been me.
Yeah, could not have been Ben or me, to be honest, now that I think of it.
He's taller than Ben in 1989 than he is now.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Boy, that hurts, but it's fair.
I don't even know what to say. Oh, yeah. So in 2017, I can't explain to you how bad the 49ers were and how different of a team it was just to see Jimmy Garoppolo step in instead of C.J. Beathard and watch a team rattle off 5 wins that was awful, that could not win a football game. It was amazing, and we saw it in 2018. A lot of expectations because of that, and then Jimmy Garoppolo tears his ACL, and again, guess what? It's an awful football team. You add Nick Bosa, yes. You add Dee Ford, and those things absolutely helped, but Jimmy Garoppolo is a big reason why the 49ers were able to win a bunch of games last year and went to the Super Bowl, and I think there's even more there as he gets more reps with Kyle Shanahan and has his second full offseason and regular season under Kyle Shanahan, so there's a lot more there. The one thing I think the 49ers could have done to squash it is extend Garoppolo, because they could have saved themselves some cap if they just locked themselves in, because his contract is structured in a year-to-year way, and they could get out of it at this time next year if they wanted to, which is, I think, the one thing that's really people are looking at that and saying, well, they can get out of the contract. So if they restructured him, then it would really lock him in, and there would be no question. That's the only thing I think the 49ers haven't done yet to really solidify it and say, look, Garoppolo is our guy long term.
Brian, I want to ask you about the wide receiver room. I'm not sure if we talked about this on Twitter, but when I was going through the Niners and the potential wide receiver options for them, I kind of tweeted out, this is the weirdest wide receiver depth chart I've ever seen in my entire life. It was after they had signed Travis Benjamin, because they got like 9 dudes who might make the roster, but like 2 who I want to start, right? It's very tricky. So you had such a great year from Deebo Samuel in his rookie season. It was delightful to see him healthy, and Shanahan used him quite well. You obviously have Marquise Goodwin, who's been entrenched as the field stretcher for quite some time. They do sign Travis Benjamin in free agency, who also gives you a veteran, long-speed dude. Then it's Jalen Hurd, the third-round pick last year. He was banged up all year. It's Kendrick Bourne, who's been a good red zone guy and has been a good wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. Dante Pettis, who came into the season a starter and then lost the starting job, and the coaching staff doesn't seem to like him. And Richie James is a great returner, but so is Travis Benjamin. And Trent Taylor was your slot guy, and he was banged up last year. We talk about wide receiver at 13 for the Niners a lot because that group doesn't seem to have a lot of elite starters. Do you think it'll be on the table? And if so, what body type, what position are they really going to be looking for? Because they have so many dudes who do so many different things well here. It feels to me like this is a good spot to let it sit and have camp competition, but so many people want them to pick a wide receiver early. So how do you think this wide receiver room actually susses itself out when everybody's healthy and back in camp next year? And do you think that there is a first round rookie in the mix at that position?
Yeah, Ben, I think you nailed it. It's the weirdest wide receiver room I can imagine. And the one thing you thought the 49ers had going for them was they traded for that veteran presence in Emmanuel Sanders. And he made a big difference for the 49ers. And Deebo Samuel got a ton better when Sanders showed up. And it really solidified the offense, and things were consistent on offense. And we're like, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. You got your good young player. You got your veteran. Let's go. Then they let him walk in free agency, which was one of the big shockers to me after the DeForest Buckner trade. I thought, okay, now you've got enough space, you've got enough wiggle room, you can bring back Sanders, then you can let the draft work for you and utilize the depth in the draft and see what happens with all the question marks on your roster at wide receiver. But the 49ers let him walk. And so to me, you said 2 starters. I would love to know who the second starter is, because right now it's Deebo Samuel and a whole bunch of question marks. Kendrick Bourne would probably be that guy. Ideally, to me, Kendrick Bourne is your number 3 or 4 wide receiver. We have no idea what Jalen Hurd is going to be for the 49ers. There's whispers that he might not play at all. He couldn't even fly to the Super Bowl because his back was still messed up that he hurt in preseason games. There was slot monster Trent Taylor had 5 surgeries on his foot, so his outlook is up in the air. Marquise Goodwin ended the season on IR. Dante Pettis was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl, so he's as deep in the doghouse as you can get for Kyle Shanahan. So I don't know what to expect out of any of these players. I actually really like Richie James, who's caught 6 passes last year and averaged 27.5 yards per catch. I would have loved to see him get on the field, but if he couldn't play last year with what was going on in the 49ers wide receiver room, then I don't think there's big plans for him. Travis Benjamin just adds to the question marks. He's just depth and probably put some guys on notice, can play some special teams for you. But right now it's Deebo Samuel, and I think a gaping hole with that second starter that would have made a lot of sense for Emmanuel Sanders to be that guy. Then you wouldn't be locked in. But to me, they are locked in if one of those top 3 wide receivers is there in the first round. And if all 3 of those receivers are gone, I could totally see them go offensive tackle, cornerback, defensive tackle, obviously, after losing such a great player like DeForest Buckner. But to me, it's far and away wide receiver, and they need a high-end wide receiver. More question marks and more depth isn't really going to help this team. They need someone who can come and play and be a starter very early in their career. And Shanahan has his types. And the type I think they need is what I've learned over the last 3 years, very different than the type of receiver that Kyle Shanahan likes. So I would expect size not to be a factor at all for him.
Okay, well, you talked about some of the attributes there that they might be looking for if they were going that direction. With number 13, let's put you on the clock here. If the board fell the way that it does here in this guest mock draft, who would you be picking for the San Francisco 49ers? Who do you think would give them the best chance to get back to a Super Bowl and hopefully get over the mountaintop?
Can you read them to me one more time? I want to make sure I'm not missing somebody here before I make my selection.
We got, for not only Brian, but the faithful listeners out there across the world, Joe Burrow went 1, Chase Young 2, Jeff Okuda 3, Jedrick Wills 4, Tua Tagovailoa 5, Justin Herbert 6, Javon Kinlaw 7, Isaiah Simmons 8, Derek Brown 9, Tristan Wirfs 10, Andrew Thomas 11, CeeDee Lamb 12.
Ooh, so I thought that's the way you read it off the first time, and I just wanted to make sure that nobody had selected Jerry Jeudy yet.
Nope, he is all yours, my friend. Tell me about Jeudy. Why is he a great pick for him?
Jerry Jeudy, yeah, he's got to be the selection here because he hits everything I'm talking about. He's ready to play probably week 1, year 1, would jump in and be a starter. He's a perfect fit across from Deebo Samuel because they're very different wide receivers, and Jeudy can give you a little bit of that down the field. He's a really good run after the catch receiver, which Kyle Shanahan really likes, but he also separates. And that's what Kyle Shanahan wants above everything else, is a true separator. And nobody separates better than Jerry Jeudy in this draft class. And really, he has a lot of similarities to Emmanuel Sanders, who he would be replacing in the offense. So he's a perfect fit, both because he's a Shanahan type and he's different than what Deebo gives you in that offense, but can still give you everything that the 49ers would be looking for in their offense. So for me, it's a slam dunk. Need meets value. The 49ers get the best wide receiver in the draft in Jerry Jeudy.
We talk a lot about moving back from 13. We talk a lot about moving back from 31 and getting out of the first round for the Niners, trading back because they don't have a second, they don't have a third, they don't have a fourth. Are there situations where you would entertain a trade back from 13? Or is it like, listen, if one of Jeudy and Ruggs and Lamb are on the board at 13, we're going to stay and make that pick because that's going to drastically improve our offense and we're not even going to take offers?
I could see a mild trade back. To me personally, there's a top 16 or so that I would not get out of if I was the 49ers or really any team that was in that top 16. I would want to stay and draft one of those blue chip players. So it would take a pretty monster offer. And if all the wide receivers are gone, that just means that one of the great offensive tackles will be there on the board for you. Maybe one of the defensive tackles, one of the 2 corners that I think have separated themselves from the rest of the group. So the 49ers need will meet value at some point at 13, no matter the position. I still think there's a good chance they get one of those wide receivers. And if not, that just means a really good player at another position will be there. So I would probably not entertain a trade down from 13 as much as 31, because I wouldn't want to miss out on one of those blue chippers.
Yeah, 31 is going to be an interesting conversation as well. I think you set it up pretty well, getting a great offensive weapon here at 13 with Jerry Jeudy. Brian, we really appreciate you joining us, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, fellas. It's fun.
Number 14 coming up next, a team near and dear to my heart, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
New England Patriots.
Excited for this. No. The best part of New England, Ben. now resides in Tampa Bay. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.